Mount Everest. Everyone knows what it is, but beyond the fact of its altitude, 29,029 feet, it's hard to talk about.
You, my friends, are following in the very footsteps of history. Something beyond the power of words to describe.
One thing is certain about this very hard, very high place on the planet.
Human beings simply aren't built to function at the cruising altitude of a 747. Our bodies will be literally dying.
2015 gave us the movie Everest about the tragic 1996 disaster in which 15 climbers died. 2015 also gave us a new milestone for climbing deaths, 19 in the aftermath of Nepalese earthquake that killed thousands of people in Nepal and dwarfed the tragedy on the mountain. For the first time in 30 years, not a single climber made it to the summit. The stunt of climbing Everest subdued by reality. The mountain is called Sagarmatha in Nepal, and in Tibet, it's Chomolungma. It inspires humility, not tourism. Although in a curious irony, tourism from all over the world now supports the local economy. Derek Eland's 2016 will be all about trying to use the power of art and words to describe this place. He's Everest's artist in residence for the year, collecting stories and photos of those who live and work on Everest. They share who they are and why they're there. Eland has always sought to bring art to places of danger.
I was an official British war artist in Afghanistan in 2011, and I wanted to take a unique view of what it's like to be on the front line. So I worked with Afghan, British, American forces to discover what it's like to be human on the front line. And I did that by creating some big brother-style diary rooms in places like shipping containers and hilltop forts. And I asked everyone I met on the front line of any nationality what it's like to be there and to write down their thoughts on a postcard. And that proved to be such an amazing success, such an emotional encounter with these servicemen on the front line, that I thought, well, following that, what do I do next? And I decided to go to Everest and to set up a similar Big Brother style diary room or diary tent at Everest Base Camp. It's about 18,000 feet and spend about 6 weeks there collecting stories from the mountain.
And what altitude will you be at?
Base camp's about 18,000 feet, so I've got to be careful, like everyone who goes to base camp, about how I get there. I need some help from the Nepalese to get there. I'll set up my diary tent, but then I'm also thinking that perhaps I might need to go slightly higher up the mountain to maybe camp two, because if I'm collecting stories from people there, Nepalese and Westerners, and I know there's an expedition of American veterans and service men and women going to Everest in April to climb it and to also highlight issues of post-traumatic stress. So there's going to be an incredible gathering of 1,000 or so extraordinary people at Everest Base Camp. And I just want to collect their stories. And if that means going further up the mountain to do so, or to a monastery or to some of the local villages, then I'll do that.
You know, a lot of people who've reported on base camp at Everest have described a complicated visual situation where you've got a beautiful mountain and the society of the Nepalese, but also a sense of people who've kind of used the place and left their oxygen bottles and litter and, you know, their boot prints on a poor piece of land that was once unspoiled and no longer is.
Yes.
How do you think you'll reconcile that as an artist when you're there?
I'm very conscious of the global warming impact on glaciers and conservation and the rubbish that has been left there. So one of the themes that I do want to explore is, you know, how sustainable is this model of 1,000 people living in this crazy village base camp for 6 weeks and possibly leaving things behind, not just boot prints, but real stuff. And, you know, how's that squared off with the Nepalese view of this as a sacred place? And whilst I don't have an agenda there, you know, other than to try and find out why on earth people are there and what the backstory is. And there's a great quote from Edmund Hillary, which is that it's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. And, you know, I want to know, what is it about ourselves or them there that they are conquering? What is the backstory? What are they running away from? What are they leaving behind? But of course, there is the impact on the environment there. And, you know, I just don't think it's acceptable to trash Everest in the process.
You'll potentially be in a situation where, unlike Afghanistan, where if someone were to tell a story to you and then go off and be wounded or killed, you might never know where they end up. And if they do end up somewhere, it would probably be buried or back home and that sort of thing. In this situation, you may encounter people who say something to you, tell you a story, and are lost on Everest, and you'll always know that there they are, somewhere above you. Artistically, what do you think that means, and what do you think the value of those possible last words that you will have received from them means to you as an artist?
I think the first thing is that I as an artist, I've got no impact on what happens on the mountain. Indeed, the same was the case in Afghanistan. I had no impact on people being killed and injured. But the fact that I engaged with those people and collected their stories in Afghanistan and also filmed and photographed them meant that there was some residue, there was some legacy from them having been there. So, for example, in Afghanistan, I worked with an Irish regiment, and one of the soldiers who took part in my project wrote his story, was killed. And afterwards, I went to meet his parents to say, well, I want to include your son's story in my exhibition as it tours the world. Do you mind? And when I met them, I showed them his last written words from this intense place. And, you know, they were incredibly grateful that they had something so real and so tangible from Afghanistan. And I guess that also is the case with the Everest project, potentially. I think people will willingly give their stories and tell their stories and write down their emotions because they do want their stories to be heard afterwards. But there is also a sense of, well, let's leave something really tangible and honest behind.
In all the work that you've done, is there a phrase from the diary room postcards that stands out to you, that haunts you particularly, that you think about as you contemplate this Everest mission?
I do, yeah. There was a a soldier in Afghanistan who I gave him the postcard, and you know, he said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Write down what it's like to be here." And he wrote about when he'd been on patrol in Afghanistan. He'd seen a farmer in the field with his son, and they were digging the earth, and it reminded him of he and his dad back in rural west coast of Ireland when they were working the land. And he said the only soldier in that environment, that safe environment on the west coast of Ireland, was our mother, who does battle with cancer, and she's the only real soldier in our family. And I thought that was such an extraordinary connection to make between a farmer in a field with a son and his mother's battle with cancer back home in Ireland. And in fact, I stayed in touch with that soldier, and his mother still survives cancer.
Derek Eland, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Derek Eland will be Everest's Artist in Residence during the 2016 climbing season. And to learn more about his work, visit DerekEland.com.